And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. It is just around 9:05 and it is another Monday, Monday the 4th of November 2024. How are you all keeping? I hope you had a good weekend. It went well for you. It's good to have you on board for the next 3 hours of the 9 till noon show. And of course, throughout the day here on your number one local radio station, Highland Radio. Right, we've loads lined up covering all issues, local, national and beyond. And we want you involved in the conversation. Or maybe you come across something at the weekend or something's happened in your life that you think you want to share or might help to share. 086 60 25000 is that WhatsApp and text line that's there for you all the time, and it's open right now. You can send voice notes to that number if that's what you prefer. You can give us a call too on 07491 25000. And many of you listen from outside the Republic, so there's that international dialing code, even from Strabane, which is crazy in this day and age, but there it is, 00353. You get rid of the first O and finish the number there. Email might be handier from wherever you are, comments at highlandradio.com. And you can interact with us, of course, if you wish to watch the show. We're on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. That's on the app, but also on your smart TV and Fire Stick. And we're also on Facebook across our Facebook pages and on the X platform, if you can find us in amongst all of the violent videos and US election coverage. That seems to be X nowadays. But anyway, going to talk about stuff in the newspapers right now. And the first two stories are two local stories. And unfortunately, it's showing an increasing trend of violence and primarily violence towards women, not exclusively towards women, but across the Northwest. As I say, these stories both on the front pages of the papers, but I don't think unconnected, because they do talk of of the abuse and assault of women, and it seems to be on the increase. Well, the statistics are showing us that we are. We'll start with the Derry People Donegal News. It's a new look, by the way, for that newspaper. It's the first I've seen of it. Almost 500 domestic abuse incidences were reported to Gardaí in Donegal in the first half of this year, while the county's probation service currently has the highest number, 26, of active domestic violence cases in the region. This marks an increase on last year's Donegal cases of 17, which outnumbered Sligo and Mayo's cases combined at 16. The unprecedented level of domestic violence in Donegal has prompted the launch of a new group aimed at changing the abusive behaviour of perpetrators. In response to these alarming figures, Move Ireland, Men Overcoming Violence, is set to launch a domestic violence prevention programme for Donegal, which specialises in behavioural change intervention for men who have abused their partners. Now, as I say, I'm not sure of the gender breakdown of the domestic abuse instances, but more often than not, it's primarily women that they are victims of abuse. And there's a great deal of concern in Derry as well, because police are hunting a knife-wielding man responsible for a sexually motivated attack on a woman in Drumahoe on Friday night. A woman in her 20s was walking in Drumahoe Park at around 10 p.m. when a man approached her from behind. The man punched the woman to the side of the head, pulled her into nearby trees and pushed her to the ground at knife point. The woman struggled with her attacker, managing to strike him in the face a number of times with her torch before she was able to break free and run for help. Can you imagine how horrendous an experience that must have been? Police immediately responded to the area and searched for the attacker, who had fled the scene. Detectives investigating this attacker, appealing to anyone who was in the park last night and who saw anything and who saw anything that could assist the investigation, to please get in touch. Now, we're going to talk about this later on in the programme. This is one of four that we're aware of, sexually motivated attacks, rapes or assaults that have targeted women in the Derry area over the last couple of weeks. There have been arrests. I don't want to compromise any investigation, but it would point to the fact that this is not one person that's responsible for this. Maybe you are in the Derry area. Maybe you are a woman or a fella, for that matter, and you want to talk about that. Get in touch with us, 00353 7491 25000. As I say, it's something we're going to be talking about a little later on. Right, okay, so there is what some are describing as this faux war now between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Obviously, there are two parties that will be contesting the election independently of each other towards the end of this month. So obviously there's going to be a bit of shots fired across the bows and all that kind of stuff. What it seems to be the focus at the moment anyway is on older people and where they might vote. We read that older voters will be at the centre of a major election bidding war, with political parties seeking to win the favour of the key voting demographic as polling day fast approaches. While Taoiseach Simon Harris expected to dissolve the Dáil and set a polling date this week, Fine Gael is committed to increasing the state pension to €350 a week over the next 5 years if it's returned to government after the general election. Mr Harris has branded the pension election pledge as golden year guarantee and is expected to form a central plank of the party's election offering. So you've got Fine Gael offering €350 a week. What do you think about that? Well, the alternative, they would say, is that Fianna Fáil's their policy pledge is that they would promise a €12 a week increase in the pension every year that is in government. Sinn Féin did not respond to queries seeking details of that party's offering to older voters. The so-called grey vote, which is a horrible phrase, but anyway, will be key in deciding who will lead the next government, and the coalition parties are eager to secure as much support as possible from this group. Okay, just on that too, it's been covered widely in the news. A fellow's a man's due in court this morning after a Garda had to intervene as Green Party leader Roderick O'Gorman was allegedly assaulted at a doorstep while canvassing in Blanchardstown at the weekend. Garda have charged a man in relation to the incident and is due in court this morning. I presume it was on the doorstep of his own home. Mr O'Gorman was not, by the way, that justifies it in any way, shape or form, but just as to, I was imagining the scenario. Mr O'Gorman was out in Dublin 15 on Saturday when it is alleged he was assaulted while at a doorstep. Although the Children's Minister was not injured, he was said to be shaken by the incident, which ended with the intervention of a Garda who was present. He's got a senior member of Garda that travels around with him for protection. So we'll see. We'll hear more about that when it gets to court a little later on this morning. Electioneering continuing, of course. This is in the Irish Times this morning. Tánaiste and leader of Fianna Fáil, Micheál Martin, dismissed negative briefings about him, which he said were coming from Fine Gael, as tensions between the two coalition parties rise in advance of the expected calling of the general election this week. Speaking at his party's annual Wolf Tone commemoration at Bowdenstown, County Kildare yesterday, Mr Martin described as silly briefings that he's tetchy, and that drew attention to the difference in age between him and Taoiseach Simon Harris. Responding to reporters' questions, Mr Martin said the tendency to raise the issue that Micheál is getting tetchy had begun on the Ivan Yates radio show. Then later in the Sunday Times, senior Fine Gael sources were quoted as saying, "I, Martin, am getting tetchy. It is quite amusing on one level, but I would say to people to cop on a bit," he said. "It's silly." Okay. Right, there you go. The Irish Daily Mail this morning: the Justice Minister put Egypt and Algeria on a safe list of nations in a bid to stem the flow of migrants, despite warnings of female genital mutilation and political persecution in those countries. The decision by Helen McEntee was branded shocking and deeply reckless by human rights groups Amnesty Ireland, which warned the move will place asylum seekers from Egypt at higher risk of being returned to persecution and torture. Ms. McEntee added Egypt, Brazil, India, Malawi and Morocco to the existing list of safe countries in July, which also includes Albania, Algeria, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Botswana, Georgia, Kosovo, Macedonia, Montenegro, Serbia and South Africa. And putting a country on the safe list means a greater threshold is required in gaining asylum for people from that nation. So in other words, it's easier, if you wish, to send them home. There was a sharp drop in asylum claims from countries recently added to the safe list, latest figures show. So the group in Ireland, Amnesty Ireland, believe that the decision to put those two countries, Egypt and Algeria, on a safe list means that more people might be victims of persecution, political persecution, or female genital mutilation. On to the Irish Daily Star this morning and Wasteland, where the torso of 17-year-old Keane Mulready Woods was located is one of three locations expected to be searched this week for missing schoolboy Kyron Dernan. 8-year-old Kyron, who is presumed dead, has not been seen since May 2022 when he was aged just six. He was reported missing to An Garda Síochána on August 30th. A murder investigation was launched at Drogheda Garda Station while a dig and excavation at the former Dernan family home in Emer Terrace, Dundalk, has already been carried out with no trace of the boy recovered. The investigation continues and at least three locations in Drogheda are to be searched this week. These include a property and garden on Han Street, an area of Beechwood, and the wasteland at Hillview near Rathmullen Park, where the torso of murdered teen Keane was located in March 2021. Keane, whose murder and dismemberment shocked the nation, was last seen alive in the town on January 12, 2020. The following day, some of the teen's body parts were found in a holdall in the Moatview area of Dublin. 2 days later, but I won't go into too much detail because there might still be young people listening at this stage. But anyway, that has now become one of three locations where Gardaí are searching. And finally, anger raging in Spain, and it's covered in the Sun and most papers today. The King and Queen of Spain had mud thrown at them by furious locals yesterday as they visited the devastated area where 217 people so far died in floods. Angry survivors yelled, "Murderers, get out," as King Philippe and Queen Letizia walked through the muddy streets near Valencia. The Queen had mud speckled over her face, while a bloodied bodyguard had a cut on his forehead from a Heard missile. It comes as Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez said the government would be sending 5,000 more army troops to help with searches and the cleanup. And a lot of the anger is the warning that was given and the assistance that's been given since. A lot of them feel that they've been abandoned by the government. And I believe the King and Queen have over there have. It's not just a heads of state role; they have more responsibility. So maybe that's why anger being directed in their direction. But the cleanup operation continues. Okay, that was a run through what's making the papers today. What's making the papers today? We'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show shortly. Now, obviously, we talk an awful lot about road safety, and often, really, I suppose the presumptive position seems to be that we're talking to younger people, and maybe younger people are more responsible for dangers on the road than other age groups. But the statistics actually prove otherwise. Paddy joins us on the programme now. Paddy, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg.
Have you been reflecting, you? I suppose, on... I'm good, Paddy. Thanks so much. I hope you're well too. Have you been sort of reflecting on, you know, your early years as a driver and what you're seeing coming through? What's your point?
I'm just thinking, you know, there's a lot of talk about education and educating young people on the dangers and everything, you know, and that is important, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to solve the problem. And I'm just thinking of it from my own point of view. And when I started driving, I'm 47 now, so I'm driving about 29 years. And when I started driving, I passed my test first time. But, you know, I wasn't anyway sensible at all on the road. When I jumped into the car, it was a matter how fast I could get somewhere. Mm. And, you know, at that stage as well, I'd have been quite aware, and my peers as well would have been quite aware of people being injured and killed on the road and whatnot, you know. But at that stage, you're young, you don't see any fear, and...
It'll never be me, I suppose, you kind of think of it, don't you?
No, you just feel, you feel invincible. So the only thing that I think that is going to help here is maybe the likes of the black box is probably a help, all right, you know, but they can fit speed limiters on lorries and vans and you know, that's professional drivers. But then a young person can jump into a car even now, there's a lot more power in cars, and they can do a lot higher speeds and get that speed quicker. So I don't see, you know, why, when the technology is there, that maybe when a young person starts driving, for at least maybe the first 3 years that car that they're driving should have a speed limiter on it. Similar to what's on a lorry or company vans and the likes of that. You know, it has been fitted for years.
Yeah, and it, when you're 17, 18, 19, and I passed my test at 17, we're not a million miles away in age either. It's very hard if you've got a bit of power under your right foot. It's very hard not to plant the right foot. You know what I mean? You know you shouldn't, but it's just you're at an age, you're a kid really, effectively. It's very hard to resist. So what was your first vehicle like, Paddy? Because I know, to be honest, my first 20 cars were, you know, 200 quid jobs. Then the arse would fall out of them and I'd go on to the next POS.
Mine have been very similar, surely. Yeah. But what I mean, a high-powered car, it was a Nissan Micra.
Yeah.
I say, even the power wasn't there. You'd done your best to get as much speed out of what you had, you know.
Exactly.
And cars are a lot more powerful now. You just didn't see the danger. It's not that you jumped into the car and you went out. And really, it's just luck.
Oh, yeah.
You know that I'm still alive
and I didn't kill someone
or seriously injure somebody else, you know.
I had back wheels come off cars turning around a corner and stuff because they were, you know, cars back then, you know, because I was buying cars that were 15 years old. They were rusted into to nothing. So sometimes you do think it was an absolute miracle. The thing about the black box, which we've got experience in the house with, is it rewards safe driving, right? Because you can drive at the speed limit, right? You're okay to do that. But you do get notified if you exceed the speed limit. But your insurance, in our experience, your insurance is you can get on the road, right, relatively cheaper. Some people are getting quotes for 3,000 or 4,000 euro to get on the road early on. With the black box, you can get quotes down as low as 1,500-1,600 euro to get out on the road on your own. So there is a reward for the younger person there as well. I mean, they can still drive the vehicle, but they just can't exceed speed limits. They can still drive the vehicle as you would, but just not exceed the speed limits. I think they get a lot of bad publicity, the black boxes, personally. I think they're great.
Yeah. But the thing about the black box is an option. You know, how many young people are out there driving without the black box?
Well, most.
That doesn't have any limit on the car. You know, there needs to be legislation put on us, or as I say, a sample speed limiter on the car that it can't go over that certain speed.
Yeah. Now, one thing about the speed limiter, Paddy, before you get on to the other thing, my concern is sometimes, you know, we all make mistakes, right? You know, we think there's more space than there is for an overtaking manoeuvre or what have you. Do you have any concern that sort of extra bit of power that might be needed to sort of, you know, correct that mistake isn't there with a limiter? I'm just thinking if you were, you know, you were overtaking and you misjudged the situation, could you find yourself actually in a more dangerous situation than if you had that little bit of extra power?
That can be a consideration, all right, you know, but it's a matter of learning to deal with that as well. So you already have a speed limiter on a lorry.
Yeah.
You have a speed limiter on vans. You have to know, that you're at that speed limit and you can't go over it.
Just in relation to that, my concern, other concern about the speed limiter, because I do think this stuff through and we talk about it from time to time. Let's say, for instance, the road from Letterkenny to Dunfanaghy, for an example. Like, the speed limit on that road's 100k, and I it's an 80k road as far as I'm concerned. I think 100k is too fast. So my point being is that even if you had the limiter at 100 or 105 kilometres per hour, there are still many roads whereby you could drive excessively. You know, an awful lot of our crashes are on 80-kilometre roads, on windy back roads, and those are often the fatal crashes. I'm just wondering, would it address those issues?
That's just another point that I was going to speak on as well, Greg.
Go ahead.
When you mentioned the Dunfanaghy Road, there's a couple of occasions lately that I was on that road, you know, and it's not just the younger people that need to have a bit of consideration on the road as well, you know. There was on two occasions that there was a car driving maybe it was around 50 kilometres an hour on that road, and there was a tailback. There might have been maybe 30 vehicles behind the car.
Right.
And it had been from maybe Termon to Dunfanaghy. And, you know, instead of that person, obviously, wouldn't have been in a rush. So they could have pulled over and let that traffic pass. And instead of there were some people now trying to overtake that car, and some people did overtake it in fairly dangerous places.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there needs to be a bit of consideration that way as well. You know, if you are holding back traffic, to pull on, let the traffic pass. If you're not in a rush and you're driving slowly.
Yeah.
Or on a slow moving vehicle.
Yeah, because slow driving can also create its problems. So, Paddy, finally then, if you were the Minister for Transport, would you trial limiting vehicles? The speed?
I think definitely something has to be done in that way. You know, I say, even if it was maybe from a certain age or maybe from 3 years from you pass your test. Now, the other thing that I think should be done more as well, you know, I know with the black box there's rewards and that, but maybe from a young person passes their test, if they go the first 3 years without accumulating any points, that they could get a rebate back in insurance, that there'd be some kind of a reward there as well.
Yeah.
'Cause you think it would be fair as well if you're paying dear for your insurance. And you don't have any accidents claims or points or anything on your license, you know, there should be some kind of incentive there that there'd be a rebate as well. Maybe the insurance companies could look at the like of that as well.
Yeah, I think you're on something there. I really do believe that the carrot is better than the stick in this area, especially with younger people. Paddy, lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time. Seamus, come in on this conversation. Good morning to you.
How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing
good. I'm just listening to your conversation there. Well, regards to young people driving,
mm-hmm.
First of all, they should give them their insurance at a reasonable price. And if they are caught speeding or that, then put their insurance up.
Mm-hmm.
Give them something that will give them initiative not to speed.
Yeah, yeah.
But as regards the speed limits, like, say you're travelling from here to Sligo,
mm-hmm.
and you come on upon a few cars, they're travelling, we'll say, at 80 kilometres an hour, and you go to pull out to pass, and when you're halfway past, you come on a speed van. And everyone knows when you pull out to pass, you'll be travelling at maybe 110, 120 kilometres an hour. But you're done for this.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're going to have a line of cars, maybe 20 or 30 cars, like a snake on the road. And people are going to get frustrated and they are going to pull out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They should have a system that you're allowed to pull out and pass. And if you come in a speed van or Gardaí, the initiative should be taken into consideration that you have to be at that speed to pass out.
But just in relation to that, Seamus, say you're travelling from Letterkenny to Sligo, we'll just use those two towns for an example,
yeah.
And the speed limit, we'll just take an average, the speed limit's 100 kilometres per hour, which it's not, but let's just say that. And you do sit behind a car doing 80 for 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's only going to put 5 or 6 minutes on your journey time at a maximum. Even, you know what I mean, until such time as you get somewhere safe to overtake them. Are we not in too much of a rush, Seamus, that the speed van, the location of the speed van, and everyone sort of doesn't like them, but the reality is the locations of a speed van is where there's been a fatal or serious road traffic collision. That is provable. So you shouldn't be overtaken there in the first place. No?
Well, we've got to tell you, 90% of the speed vans that I see around my area are inside a 30 mile or kilometre speed limit.
50 kilometres or 80, yeah. And a lot of people,
you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So it's nothing to do with speed in that case. Like, it just doesn't.
Mm.
It's just to do with money. Like you see there, and I live in Burren Crana.
Mm-hmm.
When you're coming into Burren Crana, the speed van's sitting on the 30 or whatever mile speed limit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's nobody being killed or accidents inside that. Few, if any, very few.
So you believe it's like fish, shooting fish in a barrel, that you catch the driver slowing down slower?
Exactly. Look, let's be honest here. That's exactly what it is like. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with road safety. They are just frustrating the driver because he's behind maybe 10 cars travelling at 80 or whatever the speed limit is.
I get you, yeah.
It's just frustration, like, because they know as well as I know there's a nose in my face that somebody is going to get frustrated, and that's what's causing accidents.
But should we not, Seamus, when we see the amount of devastation on our roads as motorists, yes, it, from time to time, we'll get stuck beside, behind a slow car and there'll be a run of traffic. But do you think we should count to 10 and go, I'm going to be there wherever I'm going, I'm going to be there 5-10 minutes later. Just breathe, listen to the radio and sit
well,
there.
Well, I'll put it this way to you, Greg.
Yeah.
One Christmas, my son was, he was only maybe 5 or 6 years of age. And I went up to the beach with him along on Christmas. And coming down the road, we were just, you know, toodling along. And the next thing, the patrol car pulled me in. The guy came to me and he says, I've pulled people for money's a thing. He says, but you'll not believe what I'm pulling you for. You're going too easy.
Sorry for laughing, but...
No, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And what did you say to him?
So, well, I says, it's the first time that I was ever pulled for going too easy.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I know.
That, that really did happen.
Yeah. No, no, that I really don't doubt it for a second. All right, okay. So, yeah. you're of the view that whatever we're doing... at least part of it, i.e. speed vans and what have you, that you believe it's just a money-making exercise, that it's not about...
safety.
Okay, fair play. All right, then,
like,
listen...
And if you ask a survey of the people, I guarantee you 90% of them will say the same.
Well, it's what we get in. I'm not going to lie to you, Seamus. It's what a lot of people text the show in with, and maybe they'll text and agree with you. We shall see. Thank you for your time, Seamus, and... continued safe motoring. A caller says, why can't we fit all cars with black boxes to bring down insurance costs? I mean, you can. Anyone can get a black box fitted and should make a saving. But I don't think the vast majority of adults would want that. You know, a lot of people spend a lot of money on their 2.8-litre vehicles or their big SUVs that never see the mud. They're just for going to and from school. I don't think they would... say, right, let's do black boxes for the overall safety of motoring. I just don't believe they would. I think that's why we often focus on the younger people. The difference is now there's mandatory 12 lessons, and this will help things. It's a different ball game. There's so many obstacles between wait times and all. There are 12 lessons, but I would say there's lots of people, there's lots of, and we heard actually this from a driving instructor, I would say there's lots of driving instructors that have finished the 10 lessons and they would, or 10 or 11, I think it's 10 you get, you can go on the waiting list, isn't it? And they would say, well, you know, that person's not ready for their test yet. And they might pass their test and then they see them driving fully qualified thinking, how in God's name did that person pass the test? So I don't think that the 10 or 12 tests are a silver bullet either. Can the general public put on their side lights, please? It's foggy and it is now the time of the year to light up and be seen. A really good point, that. The daytime driving lights, it doesn't come off your electricity bill. Just stick them on. The black box for cars. What if someone else also drove the car? That car was shared. How would the black box know who was the learner driver and who was the qualified driver? Well, you see, I mean, as I say, we've this in our house. And it would seem the greatest risk... the greatest risk of a compromise on the black box is if it's not the young fella that's actually driving the car. That is part of it. And what happens is you become conscious of that and you find yourself as a fully grown adult with 20, 30 years driving experience being far more cautious of speed limits. In a kind of a way, it argues why the black box is works, because, as I say, you yourself change your driving behaviour or become more conscious of it. Hi, I agree with Seamus on this. I was driving to Sligo on Saturday morning and I was two cars behind someone doing 80 in a 100 zone. The driver in front of me was itching to get past and ended up passing on a corner. I'm not sure reducing the speed limits on good roads will stop this kind of frustrated risk taking. There was a hard shoulder where the slow driver could have manoeuvred into but wouldn't. Other respect for drivers is required both ways. So a few people agreeing slow drivers are problematic as well. That man's so correct, it is all a money-making racket. We were on the Roskier Portal Road. The speed van isn't in the correct place to catch people who are driving at really dangerous speeds. It's placed at places for easy catches to rack up fines. The bigger picture needs to be seen. I mean, there are a few of them that you wonder, what are they doing there? There's one in Donegal Town, opposite the church as you come out of the town. And, you know, there has been a serious collision there, but 99 times out of 100, I think people are not driving, they're not driving necessarily too fast. Well, they are in terms of the law, but my point is in terms of danger. But if you're breaking the law, you won't get done, you see. If you're not breaking the speed limit, you won't get done. So I don't know what the answer is. Keep them coming in. It's an interesting conversation. We'd love to get all the views. 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000. Now, the issue of woman's safety in Derry will be raised at Stormont later. It follows a recent spate of attacks on women in the city. At the weekend, there were two sexually motivated knife point attacks, as they've been described by the police, while the previous weekend, two sexual assaults were reported. Laura is from Derry and joins us on the programme now. Laura, thanks for your time today. I do appreciate it.
No problem at all.
Now, you posted about this, and I think your comments and your feelings resonated with an awful lot of people. You're of the view, and I think really that my intro has proven it, that Derry is becoming increasingly more unsafe for women.
Yeah, I think I speak on behalf of every woman in Derry whenever I say this, that I am absolutely outraged about the events that are going on at the minute. I'm absolutely terrified. Something needs done. More security measures need to be put in place so this can't keep happening. It's just an absolute disgrace what's going on here at the minute.
You and your peer group, there is a sense that if you go out, you're in danger. Is that going too far?
I wouldn't say it's going too far. Absolutely not. Women aren't safe. They walk the streets alone at night. They are being attacked around every corner that they go around. They have to carry pepper sprays, have to walk home pretending to be on the phone, have to carry their keys in their hand, and they're always thinking one step ahead. This shouldn't be the case in the city that they were born and reared in. They should be allowed to walk freely alone at night or during the day, and they shouldn't be afraid about what's going to happen to them if they go out alone at night.
Yeah, and you're seeing, you know, an increase in these types of posts talking about, you know, self-defense classes for women and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I understand the motivation from that, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but that doesn't talk to the actual problem. Why is it a situation that women feel so unsafe?
Definitely. I just think that people are trying everything they can to make women feel safe, and this is why they're implementing these self-defense classes, because of the security. If the police aren't doing anything about it, then the community is going to pull together and they are going to step in and try their best to keep women safe. Because, I mean, there was no patrols at the weekend in Derry from the police whenever they said that the security was going to be raised. There was no patrols outside pubs or clubs, you know. So how else are women supposed to feel safe, mm-hmm, other than going to defence classes and ordering many pepper sprays online? We're just doing what we can to keep each other safe.
And the one thing too about the video that you put out there, which I don't get when women talk about their safety or threats to them, is the reaction of some men, that they've go into the defensive mode. And I don't get that, because for me it's incredibly clear. We're talking about a section of society that believes it's okay to do this and to hold a woman at knife point and try and get her to sexually assault a woman at knife point. That's not to say all men do that, for crying out loud, but we as men have a right, have a responsibility not to get to get defensive, but to stand up and be an ally to women.
Yeah, whenever I put that post on social media, I did have a couple of comments where men did get their back up, where they were saying, you know, it's not, all men aren't like this. We understand that all men aren't like this, but it's every woman. Every woman is being targeted. You know, like, we're not saying that every man is out to get us, but if every man sat in their house and didn't speak up, then that's part of the problem as well.
And part of the problem as well is the reporting and that process. And very sadly, Laura, you've been through that. As much as you're comfortable, or as little as you're comfortable in describing, because I wonder, do we hear about all of the incidences, right? Because some people actually don't report. What was your experience? And as I say, only as much as you're comfortable in talking about.
So back in 2020, I was going out for a night out with my friends. I was spiked and sexually assaulted in the town. Obviously, it'll be forever etched in my brain. I'll never forget about the events that occurred that night. But there's one thing that really didn't sit right with me was whenever that happened, I was actually took up to the Antrim Serious Investigation Unit, but I was took up by two policemen and I was examined by a male doctor. I think this is completely, like, that this is a disgrace. I think that there needs to be specially trained officers to deal with these types of situations, especially with young girls. Like, I understand that, you know, police have a job, but have a bit of heart whenever you're dealing with these types of circumstances. There should have been a female officer there, but there wasn't. There was only a male officer. And I think from the whole experience, that was as well very traumatizing for me, because I hadn't got a woman to talk to. I was assaulted by a man and I was guarded nearly 2 hours away by two male police officers. You know, like, things need to be implemented, things need to be put in place.
Yeah.
For women and girls, so that they can feel safe to come forward, and they can feel safe talking to another woman about what's going on with them. You know,
exactly, because in that moment, whether people like it or not, for some people, all men feel like a danger, because someone has been through such a traumatic experience. Before I let you go, you know, this morning it's reported that in Donegal alone, just Donegal, there were 500 cases reported to Donegal Gardaí of domestic violence in the first half of the year. 500 cases. Now, I'm not saying, you know, men aren't the victim of domestic violence, but we know the majority of those are going to be women. I'm just wondering, you know, with that type of a story out here, we're talking about sexual violence, but we also know domestic violence, primarily against women, is a countrywide problem. What's going on, I wonder? I wonder what's going on that women now are perhaps justified in feeling less safe in the home or outside of the home than they ever have before in 2024. There's something seriously we need to look at, Laura.
Yeah, do you know what, Greg? Like, I just think that there needs to be... I think drugs and alcohol play a serious role and the violence against women. Nothing will ever justify ever putting your hands on a woman. But I really do think that something needs put in place in Derry. Some kind of rehab unit needs put in place in Derry for men and for women, because it's not just women that get sexually abused or are abused in general. Do you know what I mean? But something needs done, because Derry is crying out for help at the minute. The drug and alcohol epidemic is just ruining lives here, and I think something seriously needs done about it.
And very, very finally, Laura, did you ever expect that your video would sort of get the commentary from other women that it did?
I never expected. I mean, like, I'm on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok that long. I don't have a big following.
Yeah.
I just grabbed my phone one night and I just went on a rant, and I just said everything that I was thinking. And everybody agreed with me. Everybody was thinking the same. I never expected it to go that far, but I'm glad that it did.
Yeah. One texter just before I let you go. My daughter was in Derry on Saturday night. She said there was definitely an increase in policing around the bars, etc., but she won't be back anytime soon. She doesn't feel safe. So the Chamber will be looking on at that and others as well and saying, right, we need to seriously see yes. why people are feeling unsafe in the city. Laura, yeah, thanks. Go ahead, Laura.
Oh, sorry, I had one message on the comment section saying we came to Derry for Derry Halloween. If we had a movie about this, then we would have never came. So there needs to be more. People need to be talking about this. You know, people need, this word needs to be spread throughout Derry and beyond. Yeah. That something needs done, you know.
Mm-hmm. Women need reassurance that it's been taken seriously.
Yeah,
and one attack is one too many. But four that we know of, and God knows what we don't know of, it's not something we can ignore either. Laura, thanks very much for your time. I do appreciate it. If you are of the same mind as Laura, or maybe you aren't, get in touch with us if it is from Derry. WhatsApp and text 00353866025000 or 00353749125000. Right, okay, some comments coming in on different things. We were talking about speeding, not speeding, but general road safety, I suppose, and driving. Maybe if you're 10 to 15 or 20 kilometres under the speed limit, you should get a ticket or a fine, as if there are queues behind slow vehicles. This causes big frustration, and that's why risks are taken. But we're often reminded, aren't we, that the speed limits are a maximum and they aren't a target. Is 80 too slow in 100? Or maybe we should be more patient? I'm not quite sure what the answer is there. I think the majority of you out there believe that slow driving should be penalised as well. What about all the older people who get a licence, no lessons, and lots of them still can't drive? These people should have to do a test or not be on the road. They're a danger on the road. Wowzers. Okay. I haven't come across too many issues with older drivers in my driving experience, but maybe I'm one of them now. I don't know. Another caller totally agrees with Seamus. One other here. Speed vans seem to be a revenue capture. What we need is overtaking lanes, in my opinion. Thank you for that. Separate issue here. We got this in via text towards the end of last week. Reads as follows. I live in Killygordon and I'm fed up of fireworks. One was thrown at me from a driving car. The bridge being on fire usually doesn't bother me because it's expected, but this year the onslaught of dangerous antisocial behaviour that went with it was on a different level. Is there no solution, they ask? This is in the Killygordon area. We had fireworks where I live and my cat was absolutely terrified, so much so that the wee thing's afraid to go out her cat flap today. So stressful for all animals. These fireworks should be either banned or a law introduced where they're only allowed to use silent fireworks. Get parents to rear their kids with manners. This wouldn't happen. Parents of kids who do these things should be held responsible and made to pay for any dangers. Well, sorry, any damages caused, simple as that. Ban them, says the listener. Well, fireworks are banned. Fireworks are illegal, and the sanctions actually for using fireworks without a license are really, really quite severe. Big fines or 5 or 10 years in prison. So they are completely banned, but they're so easily acceptable with people getting them across the border or, in fact, being sold on the streets of towns in this county as well. US politics, some of you are still commenting on that. A caller believes, and it's Tuesday night they start voting, isn't it? A caller says, I wouldn't vote for Kamala Harris, masquerading as the good guys while promoting a genocide. At least Trump is open about his evil behaviour, and much of her campaign has been, her associates have been saying, this is how you can vote for her, even if you don't agree with her stance on Gaza, which I thought was really quite interesting. A caller says the general election in this country can't come any sooner. Under Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, Donegal has gotten worse. I'm not saying that Sinn Féin will fix everything, but a Sinn Féin-led government will give Podraig and Pearce the opportunity to enforce the guaranteed 100% end-to-end scheme for defective blocs families. And on it goes. Keep your texts and calls coming through. I'll try and get my teeth in correctly. Stuttering an awful lot today, my apologies. Right, we'll be back with more after the news and obituary notices.